Blog Talk Radio.
Revolutionary Life, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're here every weekday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you're around during that time, tune in to Revolutionary Life. We'll always have a different subject because we view every aspect of our lives through a revolutionary lens. That's why we call it Revolutionary Life. And keep in mind, guys, revolution is just change. One of the things we know that's inevitable and that's constant is change. And that's all revolution is. The revolutionary wants to be on the vanguard of that change. There's a lot of advantages to be carried by a wave rather than be hit by one, if you know what I mean. And so the revolutionary keeps his finger on the pulse of change. So like a surfer with a wave, you ride that change. It's progressive. It moves us all forward. And when you're in the front of change, you might have something to say about what it looks like as it develops. Tonight on Revolutionary Life, we're going to be talking about the death. Since this is like an anniversary going around, we're going to be talking about the death of Senator Robert Kennedy. Bobby Kennedy, he's well known as. And Bobby Kennedy was the brother of President or ex-President John F. Kennedy, who was assassinated in Dallas, Texas. Top of his head was blown off in Dallas, Texas. Bobby Kennedy's brother then ran for president. And while he was running, he was shot. assassinated, killed. This is a hazardous place for a president, going all the way back to Abraham Lincoln. You are liable to be shot in the head and killed. Now, Bobby Kennedy was killed in 1968, around May of 1968. 1968 in this country, at that time, was a revolutionary, critical time in the history of this country. You had to be there to know that the people in this country and the government of this country were at odds, up to including revolutionary, up overthrowing the government, disrupting the government, overthrowing the government. There were revolutionary movements all over the place. Bent on taking power from this government, because it had been there was a big anti-war movement. The United States was involved in Vietnam. There were many people in America that didn't understand why we would bother to be involved in Vietnam. And so, of course, the system talked about the spread of communism. If communism takes over Vietnam, then it's going to take over Laos and Cambodia. And before you know it, all of Southeast Asia is going to be communist. And so we need to stop it right there in Vietnam. Nobody told you that Vietnam was a colony of France. In fact, the whole place over there, Laos, Cambodia, all of it used to be referred to as French, Indochina. French, Indochina. Because the French owned the place, exploited the place, and oppressed its people. Its people rose up one day and kicked the French out. The U.S. took the French's place as the colonizer of French Indochina. And so that's all most of us saw going down: war, conquest, and enslavement. The way Western Europeans have built great civilizations since the days of Alexander the Greek, the Great. He wasn't Greek. Just FYI, the Greek didn't fight their own battles. They had Spartans. They had Macedonians, which Alexander was. However, same thing with the French. Since we're talking about the French, they don't fight their own fights. The French has the only military that is built up of foreign people. You never heard of the French Foreign Legion? If you're running from the police, you could go to the Foreign Legion and you'd be cool. You'll be safe. Join the French Foreign Legion. You remember that? They have a foreign army, and they are the most vicious there is. And we'll talk about that. But Vietnam was going on, and there was a lot of people against us, the United States, being in that war. JFK tried to stop that war, and they blew the top of his head off. So the war was on and popping. As people watched on and saw this kind of assassinations and disrespect. This is supposed to be a democratic society. 72% of the American people said, stop the war in Vietnam. Bring the boys home. 72% of the American people. Not only did they not end that war, they spread it to Laos and Kampuchea, or Cambodia, you call it. These people did not listen to the people. And so the people saw the government doing the opposite in a democratic or majority rule society of what the majority wanted. So they had come to the conclusion that this ain't their government. So revolutionary movements, people were making bids for power. The Communist Party was running candidates. I didn't see the Communist Party candidate in the Hillary Clinton, Bill, Donald Trump thing. But back then, the Communist Party ran. Everybody thought this government should be out of power. And everybody thought theirs should be in, of course. And so this was a revolutionary time in the United States of America. The government was on thin ice. People got no respect. So Dr. Martin Luther King had ran a poor people's campaign, put up tents in Washington, got a lot of attention around poor people's needs and issues. But that didn't stop anything. People remained poor. And government programs remain inadequate. So Dr. Martin Luther King proposed a second poor people's campaign. And this time, he said, we're not leaving Washington, D.C. until our demands are met. We're going to take thousands to Washington, D.C., and we're not leaving till our demands are met. Unlike last time, we ain't going home until those demands are met. Martin Luther King was successful in organizing Hispanic farm workers to go on this march with him. So he had all sectors of society participating in this is the biggest march ever, the second campaign that he was pulling together. Martin had managed to get Cesar Chavez, the head of the United Farm Workers Union, to agree to march to Washington with him and us. So he was getting labor to participate and our struggle. And labor unions had some pull back then. One of the biggest labor unions with the biggest pull in this country was United Auto Workers, only second to the Teamsters in their power. And of course their power comes from their ability to stop the engines of production by withdrawing their labor, striking, going on a strike. Right, you understand that in those days, poor people knew that the only power they had against a large corporation is nothing but to withdraw their labor, the only thing they got. The only thing that corporation wants from them that's valuable to that corporation is their hours of work. And when they went on strike, they used that only tool they had to talk, to demand, to the bargain, to get better living and working conditions. A better working wages in working conditions. And so the United Auto Workers up in Detroit, man, where cars are being made and people were paid good money to make them back in the day. The United Auto Workers, led by Walter Reuther, told Martin Luther King the labor unions, the Union of the United Auto Workers, are going to organize, assemble, and support your movement. So Walter Reuther was a part of the next Poor People's Campaign. Martin Luther King was able to pull labor unions and all their labor struggles and the farm worker struggles of their labor struggles, all of their issues were for a moment allied in this Poor People's Campaign, behind this Poor People's Campaign. He had managed to pull labor in with us as we were struggling for our civil rights and our ability to feed ourselves and our work to pay a decent wage. And so, the Poor People's Campaign was coming together on the political power, on the political side. The Poor People, Dr. Martin Luther King was able to pull Robert Bobby Kennedy, the brother, Senator Bobby Kennedy, the brother of ex-president John F. Kennedy, who was killed and assassinated, had his head blown off in Dallas by people who didn't like him. And so, on the political power side, Martin Luther King went over and got Bobby Kennedy to say, yeah, I'm going to throw everything I got behind that Poor People's Campaign that you're running. So Martin Luther King didn't only have labor behind him, unions, farm workers, auto workers that were going to come out with us. Also now he went to the political arena and he got senator coming with us, who was actually running for president at the time. Right? And so it was on and popping, this Poor People Campaign, and the word was we were going and we're not coming back. Now, all the young people came from the big anti-war movements that were going on. They were joining the campaign because they were demanding that the government end the war in Vietnam and bring our boys home, bring our soldiers home. That we didn't have no business over there trying to colonize Southeast Asia under the premise of stopping communism. In fact, we gave them people a vote, and they voted in the communists. We couldn't have that, so we split the country in half. North Vietnam, South Vietnam. There was no such thing before we got there. And it was on popping. They got rid of Kennedy because he was an obstruction to that process. You see, everybody over him, see, the French had given up the colony. They wanted the United States to help them preserve it. Because they couldn't. Vietnamese ran them out. Not only did they run out the regular French, they ran out that vicious foreign legion I was telling you about. Supposed to be the badasses of the French army. All of the men that I just mentioned were targeted for assassination in an attempt to stop the second Poor People's Campaign. Now, I want you to hold on a minute. I'm going to give you a little music. I want you to chew on that. And when I come back, I'll tell you how they fail one by one. I'm just saying. That's the way they do things here.
Shall we begin?
This is not a drill.
Repeat, this is not a drill. Is that all you got?
Let's begin, bro.
All right, you're listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio. Like I said, where we view every aspect of life through a revolutionary lens. That's all. Check this out. Tonight we're talking about the death of Bobby Kennedy, but not just Bobby Kennedy, but how it ties to a much bigger picture that went down, that was going down. In 1968, I told you about the Poor People's Campaign being organized by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I told you that this time the campaign just didn't have clergy. Like the first one, just didn't have clergy and poor people and all of us coming together, churches and community coming together. This time he went and got the labor unions to agree to join us in the way of Cesar Chavez of the United Farm Workers Union, the Hispanic farm workers mostly, and then Walter Ruther of the United Auto Workers. They got money, they got resources, they could move this movement, and they joined the Poor People's Campaign with the sole goal of that campaign being, we're going to Washington and we're not coming back until we get our needs met, our demands met. And millions signed up for that campaign. Buttons were made. Signs were made. Preparations were being made in 1968 to launch this campaign that now not only just had poor people, clergy, now it had labor unions kicking in with resources and people, wherewithal to make this movement work. Not only that, Martin Luther King had gone, I told you, Martin Luther King went to the political arena and won Senator Bobby Kennedy, the brother of John F. Kennedy, who was assassinated, had his head blown off in Dallas, Texas, when he tried to end the Vietnam War. And yes, he did, guys. We'll get into that. But, you know, his wife, Bouvier, Jackie, spoke French. And so when they went over and told him, when the French asked the United States to take over to help them out in Vietnam, he went over there and told them, no, let's do something different. When that something different revolted in letting them have a vote, and they voted in the communist guy, Ho Chi Minh, Uncle Ho, they assassinated Kennedy and went to war and split Vietnam half in two, North and South Vietnam. Popular vote didn't mean nothing. That remind you of something? And so the death of Bobby Kennedy said, yes, I will back that second Poor People's Campaign with my political might, my family, my friends, my political allies will get behind the second Poor People's Campaign. So King got labor, King got politics, King got unions, he got the community, he got the churches. They're building the biggest campaign you ever seen, and the sole objective is to stay there and to occupy D.C. until those needs are met. And he had the young whites mostly in the anti-war movement joining the struggle, joining the march. SDS, Students for a Democratic Society, several of the anti-war groups that had formed. So it was on and popping. April of 1968, they blew the top of Martin Luther King's head off in Memphis, Tennessee. They assassinated Martin Luther King and right here in Memphis, Tennessee. Before that poor people's campaign could be formed, they killed him. Of 1968, they shot and killed the man who organized that campaign right here in Memphis. He was assassinated. And I'm talking about the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. In May, ain't that the following month, y'all? In May of 1968, they blew the top of Bobby Kennedy's head off, assassinated him, shot him dead before he could involve himself in this new poor people's campaign. The following year, Walter Reuther of the United Auto Workers plane failed and almost killed him and his family. The next year, the plane failed again for the same reason and did kill him and his family, Walter Reuther, United Auto Workers. He never got a chance to give his input to the Poor People's Campaign, the second Poor People's Campaign. 1968, Cesar Chavez went into a monastery, California. 1968, baby. Second Poor People's Campaign. Biggest ever. Allies all over the place. Was stopped with several assassinations. So tonight, I wanted to just do I had heard that it was Bobby Kennedy's, the day he was assassinated, anniversary of the day he was assassinated. And so tonight, I wanted to come back and deal with this, the fact that that assassination came along with several others around the same time, just a little while, just months after each other. And everybody who was assassinated seemed to have been involved in one of the biggest campaigns and protests of this government that it had ever seen. The death of Bobby Kennedy, I called it. And but I wanted you to know what was going on in and around. Context is everything. You know what I mean? So they use communism, guys. I mean, they called everybody. Richard Nixon said that there were communists in the anti-war movement, funding that movement. There were communists here. There was not as communists in the government in the Oval Office the other day. But then the movement was being accused of being infiltrated by communists. The Red Scare kind of thing. Right? And so it became a regular rift. If I wanted to attack some people, say that, oh yeah, they got a good cause, but they're infiltrated by communists. We got to come down on them. Well, it is possible some individuals were members of a communist party or had communist leanings or whatever. It was a big movement of those days, and there was many of them. I don't know. But I tell you what. I will tell you this. That a Jesuit priest who ministered to the poor in a little Central American country called El Salvador, he once said that when I fed the poor, they called me a saint. When I asked why they were poor, they called me a communist. Not soon after making that statement, that priest was found dead, shot by a right-wing death squad in El Salvador. Interesting enough, the head of that death squad was a Catholic. In fact, he belonged to a Catholic sect known as Opus Dei. So that's interesting. Catholics killing Catholics. But they will call you a communist if you look under the curtain. When I fed the poor, they called me a saint. When I asked why they were poor, they called me a communist. Unquote. Poor People's Campaign. What is it about being poor that scares the powers that be? This is a call-in show. When I come back, I'm going to give that call-in number out. And you guys are welcome to call into our show. And you'll be put immediately on the air. And as you come, you know, if you're in line, when I get to you, you're on the air. And so everybody will hear your questions or your comments. And everybody will hear my response. Also, I'm working on getting a chat room open for you. Oh, I have a chat room open for you guys. And so anybody who wants to log into my chat room and have a question or comment, they can write it right into my chat room. I'll answer it in the chat. And or I answer it online and on air, if you like. All right? I'm going to give you a little music. When I come back, we'll be in our call-in section. And that's what I call your time to shine. And I'll be right back. And we're back. You're listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio. And we here every weekday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. All right? I'd like to thank everybody for listening in who have been listening in. And I always set aside a part of my show for call-ins. If people have questions or comments or concerns or whatever, they can call right in. I'll put them directly onto the air. All right? Unless you're in the line, and if you'll hold on, I'll get to you. Bam, I'll put you on the air. No problem. I also have my chat room open so that anybody have a question or comment, they can put it in the chat. This section of the show is for you. I call it Your Time to Shine. That phone number is area code 714-816-4765. That's 714-816-4765. It's your time to shine. Right, hang on a minute. Look like we have a caller. Hang on just a minute as I bring the caller on. Just a second. All right. Hello, caller. You're on Blog Talk Radio's Revolutionary Life. This is Gary, your host. Who am I speaking with today?
Brother Gary, this is Brother Mancini. How are you?
Brother Mancini. All right. All right. Thank you, brother, for calling in, participating. I appreciate you. How have you been? How's your trip?
It's going fine. Thank you so much for asking. I didn't have a question because I'm just chiming in, Brother Gary, but I did want to chime in and say to you, all power to the people, Brother Gary, and I appreciate your contribution to my revolutionary lifestyle and revolutionary life as it is everywhere. Thank you so much,
right on,
brother.
It's my pleasure. De nada. You have a safe trip, my man. And maybe I'll see you when you get back in town.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother.
Take care, and thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is where we review every aspect of our lives through a revolutionary lens. And what is revolution? Revolution ain't nothing but change. It's just that the revolutionary wants to be on the vanguard of that change. See, when you're up front, you might have something to say about how that change occurs. You might be able to ride that wave rather than get hit by it. And so we try to keep our fingers on the pulse of change in our lives. Tonight I decided to do a piece on the death of Bobby Kennedy. And I wanted you to see what was going on at the same time that the death of Bobby Kennedy went down and the things that he were connected to that were bigger than him alone. And that was the Second Poor People's Campaign organized by Dr. King that was bringing in labor, political support, labor support, anti-war support, all the different segments of society was about to join a campaign that had promised it was going to Washington, D.C. and not leaving until their demands were met. That second Poor People's Campaign did not happen. And I just told you why. Because the feet were cut away from under by assassins, assassinos. First, Dr. Martin Luther King in 1968. May 1968, they popped the head off of Bobby Kennedy, killed him, assassinated him. Next, they tried to kill Walter Reuther, but he survived. But a year later, he tried to fly the same plane that they tried to kill him in. You see, guys, Walter Reuther's plane crashed. Walter Reuther, the head of United Auto Workers, who had pledged his support to Martin Luther King on the Second Poor People's Campaign. The union's United Auto Workers support and backing. The man's plane, Walter Reuther's plane, with his family on it. Someone had gone into the plane and turned the altimeter upside down. Made it malfunction. The altimeter, you know, is just what measures your altitude. How high you are, how close you are to the ground, let's say. And the plane malfunctioned again the following year from the first time. It was the second attempt on his life, actually. The second attempt worked. Same method. They turned around the altimeter, and he crashed, killing himself and his family. So that's why the second Poor People's Campaign didn't pop off. See, the Chavez disappeared. Went to a monastery or something. United Farm Workers. And so, I just want to drop that piece of history around this. So, this remembrance that's going on today of Bobby Kennedy. And again, this is my call-in section, guys. So, that's... This is your time to shine. My phone number is area code 714-816-4765. That's area code 714-816-4765. And if you call me, I'll put you right on the air. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give me a call. It's your time to shine. to Revolutionary Life. This is your host, Gary. We're here every weekday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. It's a great way to end your night, as a matter of fact. And you guys, I am also, and I always try to add in these presentations what I do. I also teach a Spanish class and a computer class on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday, between 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. If you're interested in any of those two classes, you can come on down to the Java Complex at 1423 Elvis Presley Boulevard. All right? We're doing a big fundraiser down there to get to, you know, to deal some structural problems with the building and all that. So we really need some help. One of the things that I'm doing is I'm teaching a class there called Spanish for the English Speaker. It's $10 a class, and everybody will learn a little something to take away with them. It's a two-hour class, but it's only $10. And also, I teach that computer class. Bring your equipment with you. Bring your questions with you. Bring your concerns about your equipment with you. And if you're interested in learning more, we can always set up something else in terms of training. But come down on Saturday between 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. with your computer questions and concerns. And I'll help you with those. I'm there for 2 hours, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. I call it my computer IT class because I also do cell phone tech training in general, smart TV, etc. Right now we're working on building websites. So that would be interesting if you want to come down. 1423 Elvis Presley Boulevard. Those classes are $10 for the 2 hours, and they're every week. And it's part of a fundraiser to build this entity. And it needs some work right now. So come on down, guys. We need your help. Thank you for listening in. I always thank my listeners for listening in. I appreciate it. I appreciate the support. There's a little follow button. If you're on the website, up in the upper right-hand corner, if you want to know what each presentation is going to be ahead of time, just hit that follow button, and I believe you will get a notification there of what the new next presentation will be. All right? I want to thank you again for listening in. And again, if you're in Memphis, Tennessee, come on down on Elvis Presley Boulevard, 1423. If you're there on the weekend, I'm teaching a class between 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. You're welcome to join. And we need your help. So check us out. And while you're there, by the way, we're serving up gallons of purified alkaline water, $1 a gallon. Bring your own jug. $1 a gallon, guys. If you're still paying $1 for a bottle of water, here's some water that's not only clean, it's alkaline. Get that balance going, guys. And we got the black seed oil. Not only do we have the black seed oil, they got the black seeds. So come on down and check us out. And that's 1423 Elvis Presley Boulevard right here in Memphis, Tennessee. So I want to thank everyone again for listening in. And remember to be here tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. As I end my presentations, I always ask you, my listeners, I always ask you to begin a life of practicing being fearless and having no doubts. None. And that being fearless don't mean being reckless. It just means being in the now. If you're aware right now of who you are and where you are and what you're doing in your mind, and you're not playing around in your head, in your virtual reality space, if you're out here in the moment, in the present, then you're safe. You're only in danger when you turn from the moment into your head. I had a guru tell me one time that when you are in the present moment, engulfed in the present moment, whether you're listening to music or reading a book that's captured your attention, when you're in the now, Jack, that you're looking in the face of God. The moment you turn inside and start thinking and running your mind, you've turned away from God. That's what he told me. So I try to stay in the now and then to be scared of there. Be fearless and have no doubts. And I'll see you tomorrow night at 10 p.m. right here on Revolutionary Life, Block Talk Radio. Good night.
Shall we begin?